Jesus. Amen. I'm going to read starting at Deuteronomy 2 and verse 24. Rise ye up and take your journey and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thy hand Sihon, the Amorite king of Heshbon, and his land. So begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. Verse 25. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole of heaven. And who shall hear report of thee and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee. Now, this is, again, God is speaking to his people about going into Canaan and taking the land. Now, one of the things we want to see is this land of Canaan represents the best. But God is giving his people back the whole earth. Now, if you look over in Romans chapter 4 and verse 13, this is where God speaks about this promise, the promised land. He says, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. I want to read that scripture out of the Living Bible. Here's what he says. Or do you have the Living Translation up there? I'll read it according to your Living Translation. I have another one. Praise God. He says, clearly, God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was based not on his obedience to God's law, but on the right relationship with God that comes by faith. Put it up there in the Amplified, please. Let's go to another degree of reading and understanding. He said in the Amplified, for the promise to Abraham or to his posterity of people coming after you, ancestors of people that came before you, that he should inherit the world did not come through observing the commands of the law, but through the righteousness of what? Of faith. All right. Charles B. Williams' translation, we don't have it for the board, but I'll just give it to you. He says, for the promise made to Abraham and his descendants that he should own the world. Ooh, I like that. So notice what God is doing again. In the beginning, God gave this world over to Adam. Adam sinned, Satan took control of it. What is God going to do now? Get it back. So what you're seeing here is you're seeing this transfer. And the thing that he gave Adam to work with was something called the blessing. Let's look first at Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, he says, Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Notice what he says is going to give you the inheritance. The word of his what? Grace. It's able to build you up and give you. So for you to take this land, you're going to have to be built up. Say amen to this. Because the Bible says, he said over in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 24, contend with them in battle. There are people that were on that land that God gave to his people Israel. So they're going to have to fight for that land. But you fight the good fight of faith. All right. So you're going to have to fight for your promise, fight for your healing, fight for your marriage. Okay? But you are not mad at people. Satan is behind it all. All right, in Genesis chapter 1, let's start there and just come back again. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle and of all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now God made man in his image and likeness. Image means exact duplicate of kind, and likeness means he functions like God. Now that's the way God made mankind. Verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now let's slow down for just a minute, because I want you to get the gravity of this particular verse. Okay, and God blessed them. Now, this word blessed and blessing that we said is the Hebrew word barakah, meaning blessing, which comes from the root word barak. Now, you've heard that in a president, and if you've studied your Bible over in Judges, you'll see that the person Barak worked with Deborah, the prophetess. Okay? So it's in the Bible. We're not making this up. All right? No. It means to endue with power for success. Now, why am I giving you that definition? Because for you to really get the full understanding of the word blessing, then you need to work your way through the Bible, which I'm doing for you, so that you'll know how powerful this thing is. All right, so let's just start now, basically start with Genesis. So God blessed them. Now this is a scriptural name for the power that God used to create all matter. Blessing. Now think about it. So God takes this same blessing, sometimes you call it the blessing of the Lord. It takes the same blessing and puts it on a man. Why? Because this man, Adam and Eve, are going to continue creation. So God's put it on him. Now he said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish. Now we got to get this word replenish, because this is what we're going to need today. One of the things that the blessing gives you is longevity. Longevity, living long and what? Strong. So the blessing replenishes. Now, the only thing he gave Adam to work with was one word. What? Blessing. And if you capitalize the B, it'll help you start having a consciousness of his power. So he gave him the blessing to replenish. What does replenish mean? It means to perpetually renew and resupply. So what if the cartilage wears out in the bone? See? Normally it causes usually joint problems, arthritis, so forth. And I'm saying that this blessing replenishes. See, God's called you to do something. He's called you to go to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Somebody said, well, I'm not a preacher. Well, are you a reacher? Because either way, you're going to go. Okay? So you might be somebody at your company or whatever have you. But my point to you is, he wants you in good shape. And he wants you to function in a way that would stagger the imagination of the world. That they're going to see your light so shine and want to, and your good works, and want to know your father. Pharaoh didn't want to know anything about Joseph's father until Joseph came up and supernaturally solved his problem. Then he asked about, well, what about your father? Who is he? So people are going to ask about your father when they see your work. And part of your work is when your cartilage can be replenished by the power of the blessing. Oh, I'm telling you, man. Can't you see what I'm talking about here? This thing can affect your mind. I mean, you could go to bed stupid and wake up with a great deal of intelligence. Now, you know you need that blessing. No, you're smart. Praise God. All right, but here, this blessing was on Adam. And Adam's reason for that blessing being on him is because Adam now has got to manage the universe. It's what this blessing, this is the power of this thing that's on this man. And so now God put it on him. Now he told him, gave him a prohibition. He said, now don't eat of that tree. So if he ate of the tree, that would be sin. So he goes, listen to his wife. Now his wife, the Bible says, was being tempted by Satan. Satan was speaking through a serpent. In the garden, he spoke through a serpent. Today, he speaks through money. How many of you ever heard money talks? Okay, he speaks through money. Now, but my point to you is she was deceived, meaning she didn't know that she was doing wrong. But Adam went along with it. And boom, they lost the blessing. Now, why did they lose the blessing? Because you can't lose the blessing. Why did they lose it? They lost it because they lost their relationship with God. Meaning that once they sinned, their whole nature changed. They became somebody they never were. Adam was the first man born from life to death. Jesus was the first man born, come on, from death to life. He had to get it back. But he wasn't the same person. See, the Bible talks about as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. Anybody that's in Christ is a what? New creature. Old things have passed away. Paul even changed his name from Saul to what? Paul. Why? Because he's trying to show you that, hey, there's a change that's come, that I'm no longer who I was. Before I got born again, I was a child of the devil. Jesus brings that out in John chapter 8 and verse 44. He said, your father's the devil. So Adam and Eve's father became the devil. Now, what happened? Jesus had to come. Where did he come from? The Father. How did he come? Through a virgin. He couldn't come through natural birth, because the natural birth was only producing another son of the devil. Is this the right bunch I'm talking to? So he had to come directly from the Father, watch this, into the womb of a woman, begin to germinate and begin to come up, and she had to receive it now, because understand, God, the angels came and said, hey, Mary, you're going to have a baby. Not only are you going to have a baby, but you're going to have a baby called God. And she said, well, be it unto me. And they call it Blessed Virgin Mary. So what happened was, here Jesus, he comes into the world, and now Jesus is operating not as God, because that's illegal. God gave the earth to a man. Once he did that, then God was subject to the authority of the man that he gave the earth to. Say amen. If somebody gives you a car, then now it's your car. The title is in your name. And so if they want to use it the next day, they just can come into your garage and break open the door and steal the car. They'd be arrested because the car is in your name. So for God to get in the earth, he just can't barge in here. He's got to get permission from the people of God. Now, that makes it, you say, well, you're trying to put God down on man's level. No, no, I'm taking man and putting him up on God's level. I'm letting you see right now that God gave a man privilege to pray. If you want God in your life, you got to pray. You got to open up a way for God to come into your life, because he just can't barge in on you. You just can't get saved by sitting in church. You got to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and then God will save you and bring you into the kingdom. He can't just barge in your life and take over. Now, you're saying God can't get in this world. Yes, he can get in this world. He can come in this world. He can come in this world prophetically. But once Adam sinned, angels had to clear out the atmosphere. They had to get back in heaven. They had to wait. Why? Because you saw in Genesis Jacob's ladder and angels going up and down on this ladder. What were they doing? On special assignment. On special assignment for Joseph. On special assignment for Hezekiah. On special assignment. But they just couldn't occupy the earth. But they could occupy the earth. Once Jesus came, there was a voice of archangels saying, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Why? Because now the Messiah was come and he was going to die, and once he was raised from the dead, a rushing mighty wind came on the day of Pentecost. Angels filled up the atmosphere again. Isn't this powerful? Oh, this is good stuff, folks. So now let's just talk about Jesus for a minute, because over in John chapter 5, it talks about Jesus in verse 26. For as the Father has life in himself, so he's given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Got it? Did he say Son of God? No, he didn't say Son of God. Why? Because Jesus wasn't emphasizing his divinity. He was emphasizing his humanity. And even this, some of the demons knew who he was. Look over at Matthew chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. He said, because he can do these things, because he has authority, because he's the Son of Man. See, God had to send Jesus to take on the all the character of a man to have authority here. He couldn't do it as God. True enough, God is almighty. But he made himself a subject to the authority that he gave a man in terms of him working in the earth. Now there's something prophetic. I mean, prophetic agenda that, you know, they're going to happen whether you pray or not. Jesus is going to come back. I don't care what you think about it. All right. All right. Look what it says here in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 28. And when he was coming to the other side, into the country of the Gadarenes, there met him two men possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. So this is some bullies. This is a game. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? See, the demons know exactly who he was. Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? They knew it was a time for them to get out of here. But notice what they call him, the Son of who? God. What they were saying is, you can't touch us, you're God. But how many of you know Philippians said Jesus set his Godhead ability aside and became like a man? The Bible says he's even touched with the feelings of your infirmity. He even knows what you're going through. That's why he can be a faithful high priest. Even when you shoot a prayer up sometime and that prayer is not even, you didn't even organize it right, Jesus takes it and say, hold on, Father, let me unscramble this thing. Scramble it and give it back to you then. All right. Now, what am I telling you now? I won't tell you this because Jesus came like you are. He came just like you. He wanted to represent a man. Let's go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. And look at this. Now he's going over to the other side. Let's just start there in verse 39. He's on the ship and the storm comes up. And he arose and rebuked the wind, said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Now watch this. And he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Now what is he demonstrating? He's demonstrating the power of the blessing. Let's keep going. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the what? Sea obey him?" But they said, "What manner of who? Man is this?" That's what I want you to catch. I want you to catch the fact that this was a man that was doing all of this. Now, Jesus then taught the power of this blessing. And as a matter of fact, he taught how to connect and release the power of the blessing. Let's look at Matthew's gospel and chapter 5. Now, while you're finding that, let me just say this to you. What is it that God gave Adam to work with to do all that Adam was supposed to do in the earth? One thing. Remember Donald Lawrence's song? He said, "Let's get back to where? Eden, and do what? Live on top of the world." We are taking up where Adam left off. And there's one thing we're going to work with. Come on. We're going to work with the blessing. Living in the power of the blessing. How we doing? Doing okay? All right, so look what he says here. He said, seeing the multitude, he went up into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed." Now notice what he's doing now. He's teaching people how to connect with this blessing and release the power of this blessing. This is what he's teaching. We call it the Beatitudes. The Sermon on the Mount. But it is Jesus teaching how to connect with the blessing. Glory to God in heaven. All right, so we see some other places that it's shown. Proverbs chapter 11. And verse 24 and verse 25, let's look at that. He said, "There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is that withholdeth more than is meat, but tends to poverty." Let's look at that verse before you switch that. Let's look at that verse in the NIV, that's fine. "A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed." Isn't that wonderful? Let's look at the next verse. "The liberal soul shall be made fat." Look at your neighbor and say, "Hello, fatso." No, don't do it. Let me give you what they're talking about first. Okay. Put it up there in the NIV so we can get another degree of understanding of that particular verse. Praise God. Amen. He said, "A generous person will prosper." You got what I'm saying? And fat means to prosper. So when you say, "Hello, fat soul," you're talking about, well, don't even say it. Don't, because y'all, okay. All right. Now put it back up there in the King James, please. He said this, "A liberal soul should be made fat." See the word liberal? Put in your Bible, baraka. Oh, it's all over the Bible. But it has to do with being blessed. Now, these blessings, again, come all over the Bible, but they're having to do with supernatural change in your life and the ability that God is adding to your life because of the status and position that you hold now with God as His child. And now you get supernatural financial increase, supernatural provision, supernatural proficiency, Supernatural protection, supernatural promotion, supernatural favor, supernatural business strategies. All that comes with that. Now let's take that and let's see, how do we receive this? And let's look at Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 20. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20. I know we're dipping back just a little bit. Just stay with me. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20. Now, what am I after with you? I want you to develop a blessing mindset. I want you to develop a blessing mindset. All right, he says this. This is in Hebrews 11, 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Okay. Now, what I told you is that, as you remember, Jacob came and stole the blessing, stole it from Esau. And, glory to God, when he came in to get this blessing and tricked his dad blessed him. And once you are blessed, you are blessed. That's why God hates sin. Because sin keeps the blessing from operating. Now watch, it won't leave you. You can't wash it off. The devil can't separate you from it. Watch this. It is what Jesus used to heal, to deliver it from demons, to raise the dead, to make the blind see. He made the maimed to be made whole. Watch this. He even fed the 5,000. Mark chapter 6. Where are we now? Praise God. Mark chapter 6. Just real quick. Mark chapter 6. Let me know when you get there. Say praise the Lord. All right, look what he said here in verse 36. The disciples said, send them away that they go into the country round about the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And he answered and said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? And he said unto them, how many loaves have you? Go and see. And when they came back, they said, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks of hundreds and fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and
blessed.
Blessed and broke them. Why? Because the blessing is a thing that replenishes. The blessing is a thing that creates fruitfulness. The blessing is a thing. If somebody says, I can't have children, they're married and never been able to have children, the blessing will enable them to have children. Not only have children, look what happened to Sarah. She had never had kids, but there was another problem. She was beyond the age, and her husband was beyond the age. What did the blessing do? Open it up. I'm just saying, let me just say, the blessing enabled them to have children. Let me just say it like that. Are you following what I'm saying? I've had it before. Somebody come to my office and my wife can't have kids. I said, well, you bring her to the office and we'll pray for her. Why? Because I believe in the power of the blessing. So I just prayed for her. The next thing you know, boom. I shouldn't say boom. Next thing you know, yo, somebody trying to get me in trouble right over here. But the next thing you know, he came back and said, hey, Pastor, she's expecting to have a child. And then he comes back in about a year, and he comes back with a sad look on his face and said, what's wrong with you? My wife is pregnant again. I said, well, what's wrong with that? I can't afford all these kids. Now, my point to you is once you open it up. No, do y'all hear what I'm telling you? Okay. That's all I'm going to say about that. Praise the Lord. Now, the blessing makes you fruitful. The blessing gives you protection. The blessing, I'm talking about, all he had to work with was one thing. What? The blessing. All right? Jesus was operating like Adam. They understood that man and Adam, the Hebrew, was the same thing. So Jesus is saying the Son of Man. He was calling himself the Adam. And Paul calls him, by revelation, he calls him the last what? Adam. Now, he said that by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob. All right. So, this Bible that I'm holding right here is God speaking to you. I'm going to do it over here. This Bible is God speaking to you. One more time. This Bible is God speaking to you. Why do you think people were burned at the stake for printing Bibles and distributing them? The devil knew that eventually they were going to find out that this was God speaking to them. And when Isaac spoke to Jacob and said, "You are blessed, your brethren shall bow down to you," and he spoke directly to him, as I said before, there was no court reporter. There was no document drawn up. There was no natural. There was no witness standing there. There was no lawyer to make sure this happened. He just spoke a word to a man, and he did it by what? Faith. And faith believes without seeing the results. And once he did it by faith, watch this, the one who received it had to what? Receive it by faith. So it was a faith transaction. And I'm telling you, when I read something in here, and this in here is God speaking and is for you, then you've got to receive it how? By faith. See, and once you receive it by faith and act on it, it goes into operation. And what I'm telling you is Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law, Galatians 3:13, being made a curse for us, for it's written, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." Why? So that the blessing of Abraham will come on you through Jesus Christ, that you might receive the promise that you would inherit the world that he gave to Abraham. And I'm telling you, this Bible tells you that you are owning the world. You are to own it. Now I'm telling you, if you believe that, shout amen. Amen. Boy, there's good preaching here. All right, so what happened now? Jacob got it, and as you know, Jacob then, man, this time goes by. Jacob then, he goes up and finds a wife, and he, you know, saw this woman, Rachel, and Barry White music. No. Are y'all with me here? Now, the only thing I'm saying here is that this has to be received by faith. And once you receive it by faith, now you're going to be called to act on it. Glory to God. All right, you with me still? Okay, now let's look at Abraham, and let's look at Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2 and make sure we understand that. Oh, man, I'm telling you. This thing is good. I said, this thing is good. Now, this is God talking to Abraham. He said, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. Now, he's not only talking to Abraham, but he's talking to Jesus. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. He's talking to Jesus. And in Galatians 3, 16, he said this. Now unto Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said, not unto seeds as of many, but as of one. Unto thy seed, which is who? Christ. So he was talking to Abraham and his seed. Now, who did he say his seed was? Christ. Well, are you in Christ?
Yes.
Then he's talking to you.
Yes.
Say amen to that.
Amen.
All right, let's go a step further. So now we track Abraham's life. So Abraham now is got Lot, and he brought Lot with him, but God didn't tell him to bring Lot with him, because a lot of times we're trying to take a Lot. God told us to take a little. All right, now look what happened. They get in strife, and look at Genesis chapter 13, verse 14. And they separate. And so in Genesis 13 and verse, let's just go to Genesis chapter 13 and verse 14. All right. And in Genesis 13 and 14, he said, and the Lord said unto Abram, after Lot was separated from him. Now, why couldn't he hear Lot before, hear God before? Because the blessing doesn't function well in the midst of strife. So you got, just give him the refrigerator. Let him have it. All right. So, and the Lord said unto Abram, after Lot was separated from him, lift up your eyes and look on the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. Watch this. And for all the land which you see, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Now he's going to give him all this land. Oh, Jesus, I want you to see this. Now here comes 14. Now in Genesis 14, it's where his nephew Lot was taken captive. Now, Lot went on down there and got in that place and stayed down there by Sodom and Gomorrah. And now here comes a big group of people, of four kings that have come together, and they're going to go down there and they're going to raid that city and take all the people and all the goods. So they did that. Let's start reading at verse 13. He said this. Glory to God. Put it up there, man. And there came one that had escaped, and he told Abram the Hebrew. For he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, or however you pronounce his memory, the Amorite, brother of Ishcol, and the brother of Anar. And these were confederated with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother, or nephew, was taken captive, he armed his trained servants born in his own house, 318, and pursued them to Dan. And he divided himself against them and his servants by night, and smote them and pursued them to Hobah, which is on the left side or hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, glory to God, and the woman also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after the return of the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheva, which is the king's dale. Now, hold that verse. underline the word slaughter. All right, now why am I doing this? And why am I doing this on that particular word? Because Abram pursued thousands of soldiers with 318 men. Now, here's what I want to show you. They were trained. That's what the scripture says. Who trained them? All right. Who trained Abraham? See, if Abraham had a commander from one of the forces that he knew to come in and train all of them, then they would be head-on competition with the armies that they had to fight. But he didn't have head-on competition. He dominated. Because that is what he told Adam to do to the earth. Not compete. Dominate. So if he had had some teaching from the same schools that the world has, then in the same MBA program, the same education master's program, you wouldn't have any more knowledge than they have. But if you have the blessing, and I showed you Psalm chapter 144 and verse 1, that he said in Psalm 144 verse 1, blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war. Keep going. And my fingers to fight. Who is that talking? Who is that talking right there in the book of Psalms? Who do you think? David. David. Because he was up against the same thing. See, the blessing empowers you to subdue your enemies. The blessing, and look here, a lot of times it doesn't kick in until you're at the negotiating table. A lot of times it doesn't kick in until you actually go into those places. Look at George Washington Carver. Here's what he said in his book. I should have brought it this morning. He said this, I go into my laboratory, and once I lock the door, I take no textbooks. And once I lock the door, God teaches me how to take the peanut apart and put it back together. He gave him 300 products from a peanut, from face creams to children's crayons. And I'm telling you right now, this blessing empowers us to dominate. They had George Washington Carver before the Ways and Means Committee in Washington, D.C. They said, now, brother, how are you getting all these things? He said, from an old book. He said, what book? He said, the Bible. He said, the Bible doesn't teach you anything about the peanut. He said, I know. The Bible talks about the God who made the peanut. See, the blessing formed all matter. The blessing brought all things into being. The blessing knows how to take things apart and put them back together again. And I'm telling you, that same blessing is on you. But notice what he didn't do. He didn't resort to the teachings that he had gotten from that place that he probably had learned from a book. He took that book and closed it and then went in there and didn't rely on anything but God. It says in Psalms chapter 62 and verse 5, he said this. He said that my expectation, my soul wait only on God, for my expectation is from him. For you to live in the power of the blessing, somewhere you got to expect only from God. Oh man, come on. This blessing, Isaac had seen it. He had seen it working for his daddy. And see, the tendency for us to believe or think is that God, that blessing is only, you know, working for certain people. And so, hey, wait a minute, folks. People all over had heard about this blessing. They just never seen it work. So when Joseph went down there to Egypt and they took him down there, The Bible said the way he got down there, some merchant men brought him down there. Well, what did the blessing do? The blessing prepared them to come pick him up long before he got in that hole. Oh, this is the wrong group. And so what happened is, that's all right. You're the right group in Jesus' name. Now, look. Now, let me just talk about David for just a minute. Woo, Jesus. This blessing, David. Okay, he comes to the front line. And once he comes to the front line, his brothers want to know, what you doing up here? Well, David said, you know, I just can't bring y'all some, you know, cheese and crackers. Now, he didn't know he was going to have to fight. But what had happened was, he heard them talking about this giant. Now, this is the biggest man in the world. And he's looking for somebody to come fight him. Now, David had killed lions and bears because of the power of the blessing. Say it loud.
Blessing.
Of the blessing. Now, what David started doing is saying, I can take this big guy. Now, the first thing his confession did was offended his brothers. And I'm telling you, when you talk like God, it will offend the devil. Got it? Then David said, well, what am I going to get if I slay this big guy? Now, let me put it in my own words. Now, understand, he's 17 years old. They said, you're going to get a pretty girl and a bunch of money. He said, I got it. That's it. That's all I need. Now, I know how that is. Because when I was 17, all I wanted was a pretty girl and make me some money. It's the wrong group. But that's all right. I'm coming with the right group. They're coming in. So here comes David. Now what he messes around and does, he faces Goliath. And the Bible says, let me just give you this. I'm just in. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, and he said in verse 43, and the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that you come to me with a stave or with a staff? And the Philistine did what? Curse David. Shouldn't have done that. Because God said something about curses. In Genesis and chapter 12 and verse 3, here's what God said about curses. I will bless them that bless you. Come on. And I will curse them that curse you. So can't nobody curse you. Come on. They can't work witchcraft on you. So he did the wrong thing when he did that. Because now here comes David, and David gets nothing but a sling. But David begins to say something first. Verse 45, then David said, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied this day. Come on, you got to put a time limit on it. This day, come on, put a time limit on your money. Put a time limit on your promotion. Put a time limit on your healing. Come on, put a time limit. This day, will the Lord deliver you, come on, into my hands. Come on, I'm going to smite you. I'm going to take your head off of you. And I'm going to give you the carcasses of all the armies that are behind you this day to the fowls of the air. We call them buzzards. And the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know, come on, that there is a blessing in Israel. And I'm telling you, he got that sling and that stone and put it in that sling and start going around with that sling. And if you study the writings of this man who wrote Facing the Giants, Malcolm Gladwell, he talks about that sling. And when they come with that sling, he said they can work up such velocity until when they let that rock go, it has the speed of a small handgun bullet. No wonder it sunk in his forehead. In fact, one of the groups had invented a type of tongs that they could reach down in your skull and get the pebble that's in there and pull it out. Now, that's how fast that thing was going. David was a marksman. The Bible said people who normally know how to use that sling, they call them slingers. And they could hit a bird flying in the air. They could let that. Some of y'all don't know what a sling is. I used to make them. I used to read all this, man. I used to make them. When I was a kid, I thought I was David. I thought of Roy Rogers. I thought I was Superman. I thought, man, whatever season it was, that's who I was. Praise God. But I knew I was supernatural. I knew that. But a sling, it just got a leather pouch there, and it's got two cords, two strings, two ropes that come out like that. And you take it and you hold it between your fingers and you just get velocity. You get it, and they could get it. And they said they could take that thing and they could hit a coin, a 50-cent piece. They could hit it at the length of a football field. They were good with that. He hit Goliath right in between his head and Goliath fell out. And when he fell out, David didn't let that do. David then went up, got his sword. Cause I'm talking about slaughter. I'm talking about dominate. I'm talking about whip the world in a way they will never forget it. Now, I'm not talking about beating up on people. I'm talking about on the devil. Take everything that he's got. So what am I saying? He teaches my hands to war. Come on. And my fingers to fight. I'm saying you'll never lose another business deal. Come on, you'll never, come on. Never again will you be passed over for promotion. Matter of fact, your promotion gonna be happening here in just a few days. Glory to God. So you name it, it's in this book. And it comes by one word, the blessing. Faith in that blessing. So I'm talking about living in the power, come on, of the blessing. Living, say that with me. Living in the power of the blessing. Now, is that blessing on you?
Yes.
Is it the same blessing that was on Abraham?
Yes.
Is it the same blessing that was on Adam?
Yes.
Well, from now on, I want you to be conscious of that blessing. And when the Spirit of God speaks to you, step out on that blessing. And you're going to see that blessing manifest something that the world is going to have to look at and take heed to. Give the Lord a praise. That's all we've got. All right, if you're here and you need to be born again, you got to get that blessing to be born again. If you don't have to leave, I ask you to stand around. Just stay around for a minute. So here's what I want to do. I want to call you to the altar.